Longstreet shook his head, and Fremantle saw that he had again lost his humor. No, Meade will not do us the favor, the great favor. We will have to make him attack. We will have to occupy dangerous ground between him and Washington and let the politicians push him to the assault, which they will most certainly do, given time. We need time. He paused, shook his head. They rode on in silence. Fremantle began to realize how remarkably still it was. Down in the valley, the fields were open and still. The breeze had slowed. There was no movement of smoke. A few cows grazed in the shade, rested in dark pools of shade under the trees. Fremantle could feel the presence of that vast army. He knew it was there. Thousands of men, thousands of horses, miles of cannon, miles of steel. And spread out beyond him and around him, Lee's whole army in the dark shade, moving, settling, lining up for the assault. And yet from this point on the ridge under the tree, he could look out across the whole valley and see nothing, hear nothing, feel nothing, not even a trembling of the earth, not even one small slow rumble of all those feet and wheels moving against the earth, moving in together like two waves meeting in a great ocean, like two avalanches coming down together on facing sides of a green mountain. The day had dawned clear, but now there were clouds beginning to patch the sky with hazy blots of cottony white, and not even any motion there, just the white silence against the blue. It was beginning to be very hot, hotter even than before, and Fremantle noticed perspiration on all the faces. He had not slept well, and suddenly the silence and the heat began to get to him. He was a man from a northern clime, and England did not have this sort of weather. And when you have not slept... He was most anxious to move on with Longstreet, but he saw Lawley and Ross pull off into an open field and sit down, and so he bade Longstreet goodbye and rode off to join his fellow Europeans. He let his horse roam with the others in a fenced field and found himself a grassy place under a charming tree, and lay flat on his back, gazing up serenely into the blue, watching those curious flecks that you can see if you stare upward against the vacant blue, the defects of your own eye. They chatted, telling stories of other wars. They discussed the strategy of Napoleon, the theories of Jomini, the women of Richmond. Fremantle was not that impressed by Napoleon, but he was impressed by the women of Richmond. He lay dreamily, remembering certain ladies, a ball, a rose garden. This land was huge. England had a sense of compactness, like a garden, a lovely garden. But this country was without borders. There was this refreshing sense of space, of blowing winds, too hot, too cold. Too huge. Raw. In a way, raw meat is raw. And yet, there were the neat farms, the green country, so much like home. The people so much like home. Southern home. Couldn't grow flowers, these people. No gardens. Great weakness. And yet, they are Englishmen. Should I tell Longstreet? Would it annoy him?
He thinks, after all, that he's an American.
The great experiment in democracy, the equality of rabble. In not much more than a generation, they have come back to class, as the French have done. What a tragic thing, that revolution. Bloody George was a bloody fool. But no matter. The experiment doesn't work. Give them 50 years, and all that equality rot is gone. Here they have that same love of the land, and of tradition, of the right form, of breeding, in their horses, their women, Of course, slavery is a bit embarrassing, but that, of course, will go. But the point is they do it all exactly as we do in Europe. And the North does not. That's what the war is really about. The North has those huge bloody cities and 1,000 religions, and the only aristocracy is the aristocracy of wealth. The Northerner doesn't give a damn for tradition, or breeding, or the old country. He hates the old country. Odd. You very rarely hear a Southerner refer to the old country, in that pained way a German does, or an Italian. Well, of course, the South is the old country. They haven't left Europe. They've merely transplanted it. And that's what the war is about.